Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play!
I agree.
Their second best player is, again, Ervis Solarte. I mean, come on.
Solarte.
They are...
Never nervous. Yang Ervis.
City is dead. The stadium is dead. And then an hour later, I'm horned. Yankee Magic. I'm running through walls.
As we always say, you know, the board is the board.
It's the truth.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans! What a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us for part two of our Super Bowl week podcast shows. This is the fan perspective tonight, and we'll give you the fan scene in Philadelphia, and we will also give you the fan scene in New England. For the Philadelphia portion of our program, we'll be joined by Ari in Philadelphia, who lives and breathes Philadelphia sports, whether he likes to or not. So it should be fun to see the updates from his home of residence. And later tonight, we'll be hearing from Parcells Falling Out, who will give us the report from Connecticut, which is, of course, an integral part of New England, and certainly a lot of buzz for the New England Patriots up there. So we're going to see both sides of this matchup from the fan point of view tonight, and it's going to be interesting because you're going to hear it from the perspective of guys who don't have a dog in the fight. So you'll get a very, very balanced analysis of what is very unbalanced fan fervor for each of these two teams tonight. It really should be a fun show, and it's certainly a very different kind of a program here for Super Bowl week this year. So one of many things I can tend to enjoy. By the way, if you missed it, last night we had the prop bet show with Tom in Northern Virginia and Kevin on the Cape. That was a lot of fun. So hopefully you'll get to enjoy that as well. So on we go. It should be a good time as we begin. As we begin our Super Bowl week podcast, now we're into the middle of it as we look at what's happening out there with fans. And now, from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, it is the one and only man with the baseball, Ari in Philadelphia. Ari, welcome back.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hello, Dave. I'm happy to be here representing this city and this fans of this team that I don't root for. But I am here on the scene to present to you a study of an Eagles fan in his natural habitat.
Absolutely. Now, if you've been following Fiddle on Twitter at Fiddle Elfier, I don't know if you have an underscore in there or not, but if you've been
No underscore.
Okay. So if you've been following Fids on Twitter, you have been seeing a lot of crazy updates from the Eagles fan base. So now, Fids, for our audience, what are some of the highlights of the Mongo Philadelphia behavior so far as we count down to Super Bowl 52?
Well, I think everybody knows this, but maybe they don't. I mean, every city has a hierarchy of teams, which teams are more important, less important in the city. The Eagles are far and away the most important team in this city out of all the four teams that they have. And unlike a place like New York and Los Angeles, everybody here that roots for a football team roots for the Eagles. There's not split fan bases. There's only one team in the city. And so unlike even when the Phillies were in the World Series or when the Flyers were in the Cup Finals, this city is insane right now. And it's like they make no pretense of being objective, of being of not being unabashed fans of the team. And I'm talking about news people. So the entire local news market has been transformed into basically every newscast is an Eagles pep rally. The night they won the NFC title game, the newscasters did the news in Eagles NFC championship t-shirts and hats. And so that's kind of the baseline of what we're dealing with. And of course, the news that night was all the people in the streets going nuts because they won the game. There was so we're to the point now. I watched a newscast today just to prepare for doing this spot with you tonight. And basically the news, every time they have to report on something that's not this football game, they basically have to preface it with an apology to the audience. And it's like, you know, in other news today, you know, it's shockingly to you, we're not covering the football game for this next 3 minutes. We're going to talk about a murder and a fire and, you know, whatever else the local news ordinarily covers. But, oh, but now back to the game. And we've got like four different people. Like, you got an anchor standing outside the stadium. And then you've got a guy at a reporter at FanFest. And then you've got the sports director who is at Radio Row interviewing the guys from the local radio station who are also at Radio Row. And that's the newscast. You know, what's the weather going to be in Minnesota on Sunday? The game's in a dome stadium. It really doesn't matter. Like, it's going to be 0 degrees in Minnesota on Sunday, but it doesn't matter. But there are, you know, you gotta have everything. So, I mean, that's just like the local media is like rah, rah, unabashedly, you know, let's go Eagles. And, you know, it's just not, I'm not used to that, but, you know, it's kind of nice in a community building kind of way, even though I don't root for the team. But, you know, it's nice to be embedded in the culture and embedded in the frenzy, even if the frenzy is basically rooting for something that you don't root for. Mm-hmm. It's still something to experience. And, you know, it was an even weirder experience in 2008 when they won the World Series. And that's a team I actually can't stand.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because they're a division rival of a team I root for. The Eagles are a division rival of the Giants, who I nominally root for, but not really. I don't really follow the NFL anymore. So I don't hate the Eagles like I'm, I guess, supposed to. But so it's kind of like an, you know, it's an experience where I'm here locally seeing all of this stuff that's going on, even though I'm not part of it. So it's a lot of fun. So you've got, let me try to think of some of the highlights, of what these people are doing on a daily basis. And it's, you know, and we're just getting started. It's only Tuesday.
Oh yeah.
We've got five more days of. So my kid's school, every Friday, all the kids are supposed to wear Eagle stuff. So like every other day, it's a school. This is school. They wear uniforms, but you get a special dispensation, a dress down day on the Friday before every Eagles playoff game where you can dress down and not wear the uniform, but only if you're wearing green or if you're wearing, you know, Eagle stuff or Eagles colors. And so that's like, you know, they basically converted the entire school. You know, today, he had to go into school, my son, prepared to write a few sentences about his favorite Eagles player, like assuming every kid has a favorite Eagles player. You know, it's unheard of that he might not, as an 8-year-old, have a favorite Eagles player. So the school did a penmanship test. They do penmanship tests every couple of weeks or a quarter or whatever. And he wrote home today. And the penmanship test was Fly Eagles Fly, the whole fight song. And that's what they told the kids they had to write for the penmanship test this week.
That is hysterical.
So that's just my life.
Wow.
You know, the other people who I'm observing from afar here, you've got. So Philadelphia obviously has all of the colonial historical stuff in the historical district, like the Liberty Bell and the Congress Hall where the Constitution was ratified and, you know, those kind of places. And down there, they have people whose job it is to dress up like historical figures, like you've got a Ben Franklin and you've got, you know, people like that. And so they have a Betsy Ross whose job it is to be down there outside and, you know, greet the tourists and other people who are looking at the historical sites and be Betsy Ross. And so Betsy Ross this week says, you may know me as a patriot, but this week I am not a patriot. I am a loyalist, an Eagles loyalist.
I saw this clip. This is so funny.
Like, oh my God.
So that was great.
That's Betsy Ross. Betsy Ross basically turns on the revolution.
Yeah.
So she can be, you know, she root for the Eagles.
Oh, goodness.
So, and you've got, you saw this too, because I tweeted it at you because I know you appreciate this stuff that I've been tweeting. So now I've been tagging you in it. The Boston Market restaurants in Philadelphia are putting up signs over the word Boston Market. They now say Philly Market because God forbid anybody eat anything from Boston. Oh, I think Dunkin' Donuts, maybe not Dunkin' Donuts, it might be a different donut place, is not selling Boston cream donuts this week because you can't eat those. And I don't know what other, I can't think of any other ones that I tweeted out recently, but yeah. So, I mean, everybody knows now about the Crisco on the polls, right?
Yeah.
So before the NFC Championship game, they posted signs that said no parking on Broad Street, 2 p.m. The game was at 4:30.
Right.
No, 6:30. The game was at 6:30. No parking, 2 p.m. until the next day. Because, you know, basically if you park on Broad Street, you're a target for rioting after the game. And that's basically, no matter how the game turns out, there's going to be people out there. And they're either going to be happy or they're going to be mad. And either way, they're going to be messing with cars. So no parking. And they greased up all the light posts with Crisco so that people wouldn't climb up them and hang off. But, of course, these being, you know, plucky Philadelphians, it didn't work and they climbed up the poles anyway.
they got commitment, man. So
that is the state of the city. So I tuned into local sports talk today, which I never do because I just don't follow the teams here. But I knew I was doing this spot today and I kind of wanted to experience what's going on in that medium today.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were not breaking down X's and O's of the football game, talking about offense and defense and special teams. No, they were talking about have the callers call in. What would you give up to watch this game? And then one guy calls in. He says, my wife is pregnant and she's due any day now. And I told her that if the baby comes on Sunday, I will see her on Monday. Wow. Because I am going to watch this game.
Wow.
That's not just what would you give up to win the game.
That's just to watch.
What would you give up just to watch the game?
That is. Wow. I don't even.
So, and that's just, you know, one of many callers on that topic. Like, what would you give up? I would give up. I would rather celebrate a Super Bowl win than celebrate one of my kids' birthdays. You know, I don't know. So.
Yeah. I might kind of side with him on that one, though, because, like, the kid's birthday is kind of gets a little tedious after a while, but.
I guess.
All right, so good update. So, let's now bring in. you really crushed that. That's pretty good. So now,
I mean, I'm waiting for it to. You know, I'm sure the city's not done.
Oh, but, no.
Yeah, every newscast. So they have special newscasts called. So the newscasts now have subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
One more win.
One more win.
On the news.
That's hysterical. On the news. That is.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think that was possible today to have that kind of partisanship with a team, but we're about to find out just how far this can go because
I'm gonna tell you a story.
All right, time to bring in the other side of the ledger. And coming to you from Connecticut, it is Parcells Falling Out. Parcells, welcome to the show. How's it going tonight?
Doing all right, Dave. How you doing?
Good.
How you
doing, Fiddle? Forgive the use of the
What's
song,
up,
but yeah, help say hello to Fids. Fids, say hello to Parcells. And, you know, you guys know each other from the WWE show.
Yeah, I get entrance music now. This is fantastic.
We did one for Fitz too.
I got entrance music too. I was gonna supply my own, but no need.
All right, so let's just clarify something here. That song being so recognizable from Boston and Fenway and that sort of thing, you know, me being a New York fan through and through, you know, and located in northeastern Connecticut, you know, I'm. Not so sure how thrilled I am about having that as my theme song. We may have to work on something else, but
I get that
future
completely.
Appearances, but I'll take it for today. So
yeah.
How you guys doing? All right.
Good. Yeah. I couldn't do Sweet Caroline, so this is probably the next best one I could come up with. Or the Cars, but
or the band about, Boston. Yeah.
How about Brass Bonanza for my location?
Oh, there you go. Time, yeah, old, I didn't think of that. That's
the
a
old
good
Hartford
one.
Whalers theme.
Yeah.
Even though being a Rangers fan, but you know, I would settle for something like that.
Yeah.
So all right. So hey, so let me just jump in here with a little bit of geography. All right. So, you know, being here in Connecticut, being split right between New York and Boston. So basically, half of the state kind of roots for New York. The other half roots for Boston. The state is split pretty much right down the middle by the Connecticut River.
Hmm.
So it runs from Massachusetts straight down the entire state, probably right through New Haven or east of New Haven into the Long Island Sound. So west of the Connecticut River, you start getting more New York sports teams. East of the Connecticut River, you start getting into Rhode Island, you know, Massachusetts, and that's Boston is. So I am located about 15 minutes east of Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
So we are about, I would say, 70-30 Boston sports teams where I'm located. Mm-hmm. So I'm not in Boston, but I am right in the middle of Patriots, Mongos of all ages.
Wow.
You know, friends of mine, you know, people in their 30s, 40s, 50s. I coach little Mongos, Patriot Mongos in basketball, who drive me up a wall with this stuff. So, you know, I'm getting it from all angles here.
Yeah, that's it's definitely quite a see, I didn't know exactly how close you were to Boston, but yeah, that's pretty close. Like I you know, I realized that half and half, and you're on that half. Oh man, it must be going crazy.
Yeah, so I'm about time-wise, I'm about an hour 20 from Boston, and I'm 2 hours from New York.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, Boston is an easy trip, trip for us.
Are there any like promotions at restaurants and things for the Patriots right now because the Super Bowl is coming up and maybe it's like a thing to show solidarity, like I don't know, like buy two get one off or it's like something like
yeah,
that.
I haven't seen any of that. You know, they run some Red Sox stuff during baseball season, like kids eat free if mm-hmm. the Red Sox win the night before
mm-hmm.
At a local chain. I haven't seen anything for the Super Bowl. You know, the restaurant stuff I've seen on TV has been basically, you know, the local news crew showing up at the sports bar the day of the AFC Championship. Hey, you know, what are you having? What are you eating? What type of wings? And, you know, who are you rooting for? That sort of stuff. You know, the hokey local news nonsense. That's really the only restaurant stuff I've seen.
Gotcha. And the newscasts, are they in full Mongo mode? Or are they going, yay, Patriots, you know, rah-rah, Patriots, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, they're, you know, they're kind of doing, like, top-of-the-news stuff. Maybe not the top story, but the next story, they throw it to the Patriots. So, you know, it's really full-on Patriots stuff up here right now. Really annoying, but you know, you just got to deal with it. You know, it's really not a fun time. And you know, the funny thing is that, you know, being a Giants fan is that I got no one to root for in this game.
Yeah.
You know, with the Eagles, I can't possibly root for the Eagles. And it's just, you know, I'm just swallowed up by all this Patriots stuff year in, year out up here. So, it's tough. It's a little difficult right now, but you know, it's kind of fun. You know, anytime, anywhere you go and run into people, they're talking sports. So I'm always fine with that.
Yeah, it's I mean, I can appreciate something like that if it was a team that I didn't root for. I can't speak to that specific happenstance, because most of the time when there's something big happening in LA, it's a team that I actually do root for. The difference, I think the one that wasn't was the Rams. I did feel some buzz for the Rams. So it's kind of, that's like the closest I've come to a similar experience of like seeing other fans really get buzzed about a team that you don't actually root for, but you can kind of get into it a little bit from that standpoint.
You had some stuff with the Ducks recently,
yeah,
right?
The Ducks too.
Does that count?
Sort of.
That's being local to you?
Yeah, kind of. It's Orange County, so we don't really feel it as much because Orange County is sort of its own municipality. But we had a little bit of it. I mean, we could see, you know, the TV channels were getting on the Ducks. Like, go Ducks, you know, that whole thing. They did have a nice run last year. They went out and they had an unbelievable, well, I don't want to get into hockey right now, but yeah, basically, yeah, I think you get a little bit of it, but you kind of get the same, I kind of have a similar stance that Parcells would, with if let's say like the Ducks win and they played, I don't know, like Montreal or something like that in the final, like who am I going to root for in that? Because the Kings are rivals of the Ducks, and the Kings are rivals of the Canadiens, and it would be, that would be a difficult one to really endorse. And similar if it was like Ducks versus Red Wings, like really the Red Wings win like eight Stanley Cups and stuff, and I mean that those really isn't, it's not one that's going to be easy to root for, but you know, it's kind of like that, it's a little bit like that. But we do kind of like, let's say the Angels, a better example, I think if the Angels were to do something again, I wouldn't be like rooting against the Angels. I mean, that'd be kind of fun, like to see if Mike Trout, if assuming he's still there at that point in time, is gets into a big run, like that would be kind of cool. So yeah, we do get it from time to time with different teams, so it's always interesting to see. College too, like if like I know we've had moments where Fullerton has made a run to the College World Series. I think UCLA won the College World Series, and so we can rally behind that stuff too, so it's kind of cool.
Even in college here in Philadelphia, it's usually one team is good. Like it's, and you know, when Villanova went to the national title, it wasn't like there was this huge contingent of fans of Temple and LaSalle and the other schools hating Villanova.
Yeah,
it just the city transformed into fans of the team that was doing well, that, and the whole city just moves in that direction. That's even cool. Though Villanova's not even in the city, technically, yeah. But yeah, that's just kind of how the way they go. It's one team per sport, and even in college basketball, where there are legit three decent teams usually, it's not like Mets and Yankees, where you've got Mets fans who hate the Yankees and Yankee fans who hate the Mets. And if the Yankees are like the 2009 World Series, where Met fans had no one to root for because they hate the Phillies, but they also hate the Yankees. It's not like that here.
Right. It's a little unity. And you know, Parcells, if you talk about going to your college basketball team, UConn, I can imagine how much buzz that Stores would have and the rest of Connecticut. I mean, do you remember like some of those moments too when the Huskies were going through their runs?
Yeah, well, they take over the whole state because, you know, we don't have a pro sports team or, you know, a major league team. Mm-hmm. So UConn men's basketball is that major league team. But your fans up here are so fickle, like so they're having a down period right now and they're not drawing well, and you know, a report just came out, the NCAA is investigating them. But you know, back, you know, when Calhoun was coaching and they were, you know, making their runs and winning titles, it was the hottest thing around. You know, it was actually the one sports thing around here that would unify everybody. You know, Boston fans, New York fans, everybody's a UConn fan up here.
Big time. Yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, it really does galvanize people together. I don't want to bring the Lakers into this, but I know that when the Lakers would make a run, everybody would throw out the Laker flags and people wear the Laker gear. It really does get exciting, even down here in LA, when a team is on a roll like that. So, and the Dodgers too, like last year, the Dodgers, I started to see some Dodger hats, the Dodgers World Series. It was getting pretty intense in October. So, kind of similar spot. So, that's pretty much it. Now you said, are there any other personal anecdotes and from your side on the, on the New England fan experience, Parcells? Like, when you go to a Super Bowl party, most years when the New England Patriots are in it, is most of the crowd like a New England fan crowd, you know, at your house, assuming you go to a party or what have you?
Yeah, I mean, last year was a total disaster.
Ooh.
You know, just the fact that, again, you know, I'm not rooting for the Patriots just because just so consumed in it, and they're always winning. So, you know, we're pulling for the Falcons, and, you know, 21-3, 28-3 at one point. So, you know, you had a party with Patriot fans, and I'm not looking to be an ass or anything. You know, I kind of just keep to myself, but I'm enjoying it. My kids are enjoying it. You know, so, you know, my kids take heat at school, and, you know, nothing too crazy, just, you know, normal kid stuff back and forth, you know, how the Giants doing, where are the Giants playing this week, you know, that sort of thing when it's, you know, just the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. So anyhow, so, you know, me and my kids are at this party last year totally enjoying ourselves with the Falcons up 28-3, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't have to tell a story about the Patriots coming back. But it just turned in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
And these people are screaming and ranting and raving and going absolutely nuts when they tie it up and win it in overtime. And we just, like, goes sneak out of this party, tails between our legs, you know, just silent car ride home.
Yeah.
And, you know, my kid's not saying anything, knowing what sort of crap they're going to hear in school the next day. You know, obviously as an adult, you know, you take it with, you know, the fun that it is and the back and forth, but, you know, kids take this stuff real seriously, and they feel like the heat they're going to catch in school is going to be relentless, and they got to hear about Patriot stuff through the next 2 days and a parade and all that garbage. So, you know, last year was a bit of a mess. And, you know, this year, so I coach my youngest kid's seventh grade basketball team, and my kid's a Giant fan. One of his buddies is a Steeler fan. And all these other kids are Patriot fans. So, you know, you walk in the gym for practice the day of the AFC Championship game. Hey, what time's the Steeler game today? What time's the Giant game today? And, you know, these are like 12, 13-year-old punks saying this stuff, you know, so, like I said, for me, I mean, it's kind of all in good fun. I throw some Giant stuff back at them about Super Bowls 42 and 46 and, you know, see if they can kind of squirm their way out supporting their team and throw it back at me. But, you know, that's kind of the stuff we deal with up here on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, fun stuff with the kids, you know.
Yeah.
I hear from friends, you know, via text, like after the Eagles game, you're going to go to the movies on Super Bowl Sunday? Can't root for either team, huh? You know, stuff like that. But again, it's all in good fun.
Indeed. Now, gun to your head. So, are you going to go for the Patriots or the Eagles in this Super Bowl? Because, like you said, this is a tough one to decide, and we've had other Giants fans have the same conundrum. So, how would you select it?
I don't know. You know, as a Giants fan, I can't root for the Eagles, but living up here as a Giants fan, I can't root for the Patriots. I think I'm gonna see where, like, the emotion of the game kind of takes me. Right now, I don't have a feel for it. I'm just gonna see where it goes, and, you know, and just hopefully it's a good game. But yeah, we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, it's pretty much it's kind of what, because we've been beaten down by so many Patriot magic, so much Patriots magic. It's kind of like, let's just see the game. I don't think expecting one way or the other is really, I mean, you're almost, it's kind of tough. That's like, you know, if you couldn't even hold a 28-3 lead as an opposing team, like, well, what can you do? Like, it does kind of make you just get a little detached from it emotionally. So I think that's an interesting plan, Parcells. Ari's not going to have an opinion on this, because I know you're probably indifferent to the outcome. Although, I guess you're probably going Eagles, right? Because of the just more fun and excitement in your town. Yeah, Fids?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to see what it's like. So, like, I can't jump on the bandwagon here. Like, I couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But But, you know, as an observer of culture locally, I think I'd want to see the Eagles win. Kind of like in 2008 when I wanted to see the Phillies win, even though I hate the Phillies, I just wanted to be here for it. And so, I mean, that's probably how I'll go because, I mean, you're happy, you're here, and, you know, I'm supposed to hate the Eagles because I'm nominally a Giants fan, but I haven't really followed the Giants in, like, over a decade. Like, I'll watch the games, but I don't really follow the sport. I don't really follow the team anymore, so I don't feel like I have to hate all the rivals. And I'm here, and it'll be more fun if they win, so I guess I'll go that way. But I can't, at the same time, can't be jumping on the bandwagon now.
Right. Okay. I got a couple for Parcells. I'm going to sidestep the conversation for a moment, because we got breaking news about 30 minutes ago that the Chiefs traded Alex Smith to, I believe, the Washington Redskins. And the basic implication is that that will be the new quarterback, and Kirk Cousins is done. So that's a big deal. And a little bit of speculation on it, but no, I don't know if anyone really saw them actually pulling the trigger. Parcells, I mean, as an observer of the NFL, do you think this might be the right direction for the Redskins, or should they have tried to go younger? Obviously, they didn't feel that great about Cousins, and I think they were right not to. So do you have any initial impressions of this trade?
Well, it seems like it's probably all about money, right? You know, I briefly saw it before. I think I saw something that said it was for a second-round pick and maybe a player or two or something like that. But they just signed Smith to an extension as part of this deal. So I think the Redskins are saving significant money from what they would have had to pay Cousins, right? I mean,
right.
Cousins would have been in maybe the mid 20s or so, maybe the low 20s. I'm not sure if they franchised him. No, they couldn't franchise him, right?
Yeah, I think it ends up being, whatever the case is, it's less than Cousins, because I was thinking he was going to get a pretty big contract extension or some kind of contract, on top of what he's already had, meaning his next contract was going to be pretty big. So Smith would probably bail him out of that. Granted, similar to Cousins, he's got limited potential. On the other hand, Smith is at least more dependable, right? Like, it's not as bad. Like, I think Kirk Cousins is just too inconsistent. So Alex Smith's ceiling is lower, as we both have seen over the years, but it's also more dependable, right? Like, it's at least you know what you're going to get each game, and you did not know what you were going to get with Kirk Cousins.
You know, if I remember, you know, I think Cousins used to have some big games against the Giants. I mean, not that that's saying much, you know. I mean, outside of last year, the Giants haven't been all that good. But, you know, Alex Smith doesn't really scare me. So, you know, him coming into the division, to me, it's like, okay. All right, Redskins have a quarterback for four more years. It doesn't really move me to say that they're that much better. I think they just bought themselves four more years of a quarterback. That's kind of how I see it.
All right, good stuff. Now, the other thing I was going to bring up is Ronda Rousey signing with the WWE. That happened today, and that's a signal. Well, maybe that happened yesterday, but it's a signal.
Over the weekend.
It was over the weekend? Okay. So
yeah.
It's a signal that she's done with MMA. That's it. Like, she's had her shot. The last fight I remember, she lost that. So her star has faded. So I guess this is a natural move, but I'm curious about your thoughts on this. Is this a de facto way to extend her career? Do you think that she had anything left in the tank for MMA? What do you think about the whole Ronda Rousey transaction?
Is that for me or for Fiddle?
It's for you. It's for you first, Parcells.
Okay. I don't know. I think she's done with MMA. You know, I think you only have a certain lifespan in that sport, and she was incredible in it for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then the sport caught up to her. You know, some fighters found her weaknesses, and she decided to move on. To me, this is the, you know, natural progression. She's doing movies. She's going to try this out. You know, the interesting thing that I think she said about this was that she signed full time. You know, she's not, and what exactly that means, I'm not certain, but she's certainly not going to be the Rock who pops in every now and then. Or I don't even think she's going to be Brock Lesnar. I think she's going to be around a little more than that. So I think it's supposedly a multi-year deal, and she really wants to pursue this. And you know what? Good for her. You know, I think, you know, she's going to have to put in her time and take bumps and learn how to take bumps and all those things. But, you know, she's passionate about it. And, you know, whatever criticism she's getting out there for it, I think it's nonsense. I think this is the next step for her in her career. And I think it's in the normal progression of stuff. So how she's going to do, I don't know, because I don't know how much training she's done and that sort of thing. I think they'll protect her a little bit at first. But you know, good for her, you know, and she's a big name, and it'll bring more fans to the table, and that's what they're looking for. So I think it's a good deal.
Okay. Let's get Fiddle's take on it. Fids, what do you think of the Ronda Rousey signing?
Well, since wrestling is a sport, Dave, I think.
No.
That... No. No. Stop.
No.
Stop.
No.
Please, check, please.
I think it's a natural move for her because she's an athlete and wrestling is a sport. No, I really do. I think, I mean, there's a few sources of places where WWE gets talent. Mm-hmm. And former legit athletes, competitive athletes, is a very, very large source of their talent pool. They've got ex-football players and I think ex-fighters is a pretty significant subset of that. They got ex-boxers, ex-Olympic wrestlers, you know, amateur-style wrestlers. Kurt Angle was one of the biggest stars ever in WWE after he was a gold medalist in the 1996 Olympic Games in wrestling. And then Brock Lesnar, who was an All-American wrestler, NCAA wrestling champion, and then went to WWE and then left and dominated UFC for a while and then came back. Now he's back on a part-time basis. He's a lot older than Ronda Rousey is, and he's back on a special attraction, you know, 12 dates a year or whatever he does, four matches and a couple of Monday Night Raws where he stands in the ring while Paul Heyman talks. I think that is a natural fit for them. And WWE is at a spot right now with the way it is handling the women's product where she is a better fit now than she would have been at any previous time. Like if Ronda Rousey was 10 years older and tried to do this 10 years ago, it wouldn't have worked. There would have been no one for her to wrestle. But now they've got a roster. They just last Sunday had the first ever women's Royal Rumble match because they have enough wrestlers if they bring in some old alumni type people to fill a 30 woman match. So they're really pushing women's wrestling as wrestling, and not just as an adjunct to the men's wrestling. And she is going to be an excellent fit in what they're currently going for. And she has the background. She has the athletic. She definitely has the raw athletic talent to do it. Her athletic talent is in an area that is a perfect fit for this. I think she has the personality to do it as far as the entertainment side of it. On the other hand, it's not the same. You have to learn how to do it. It's a different skill. Just the in-ring stuff, not even the entertainment stuff. The in-ring stuff is completely different. I heard Bubba Ray Dudley say the other day on his radio show that it took Kurt Angle, who was an Olympic gold medalist wrestler, a year or two to learn how to be a good professional style wrestler, because it's different. It's a different thing. It has the same name, but it's not really the same thing. So It's going to take her a little bit, but she's a huge star and a huge name, and they're letting her wrestle under her real name because everyone knows who she is, and she's a big attraction, so she's probably going to be in big matches before she's ready. But they're going to have to – they'll figure that out, and I think, you know, in the long run, I think she'll be really good. She's a perfect fit.
Yeah, I think it's a slam dunk. I think it's a great move for WWE, and I think it's an equally clever move by Ronda Rousey. I think she jumped in at just the right time. I think this will be a very someone that moves the needle, and she can absolutely do that. So that's pretty exciting. So guys, I certainly will pre-invite both of you guys for the next WWE show. What's the next big event?
WrestleMania is in April, first week in April.
So we have a couple months for that. Okay. Shall we re-up? Shall we? Want to do it again?
That's your show, Dave. I'm game for that.
I'm in. Let's do it.
I'm in. Start watching Raw. Dave, go get the WWE Network. Study up.
Yeah. Definitely. Time to do some prep, for the show. good times. So, Fids, really quickly, what was your intro music going to be? If you have it cued, let's hear it.
Oh, well, I mean, it wasn't the same thing that you picked, but mm-hmm. It was the same general idea. So it was...
Oh, I like this. This is good. That's a good pull by you. That's a good pull by you there, Fids. Definitely.
Yeah, that was what it was going to be. And, you know, it's not because I am, you know, Mr. Philadelphia, but it's because that's the subject today. So,
yeah,
you know, figured I'd go with it.
It doesn't, you know, that is probably the biggest Philadelphia song. I probably went with the second biggest.
Right. I mean, Philadelphia has, you know, it's not a long list of things they're known for. You know, everybody knows what they are. It's Rocky. It's cheesesteaks. It's, you know, everybody knows the list of things.
It's true.
I missed the beginning. What'd you go with? Philadelphia Freedom?
No.
It was Gonna Fly Now.
No, oh, but okay. My pick was, the one I ended up introing him with, the Parcells, was Eye of the Tiger by...
Same basic idea.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. So what song would you have gone with as your intro to do this spot? I will cue it up and play it here on the podcast here. I've got YouTube on my side, so... I'm sorry. I should say this is for Parcells. Now, what would be a good song to describe this Mongo fan base right now that would not be quite wretch-inducing?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. I would have to think about that. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it's 4 days, 19 hours, 23 minutes, and 48 seconds until kickoff. And I know that because I'm watching the local news, and it's right there on the screen.
They probably leave that on the whole day. That ticker.
The whole day, or all the newscasts at least.
Yeah, yeah. Like the weather is like 73.
And by the way, it's 11:06. The newscast just started, and that's the top story.
It is 70. It is 7 Eagle degrees today.
Yes. Oh, story number two: police are preparing for Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, not like that. Oh man,
it's like there's nothing else going on.
You got to appreciate that they just totally embrace the event. I think they wanted this so much because of how bad of a showing they had in Super Bowl 39. But there's not a lot in common between that team and this team, which is why I felt it was silly.
And the city, right? The city's only won one title since 1980.
Yeah, one. I mean. That's one title in 38 years, going to be 39 in a year, going to be 40 in 2 years. That's insane. Like, so no, you're right. Like, hey, if so they...
two titles.
What am I missing?
The Sixers in 83?
Oh, yeah, 83.
Okay, so since 83, they've only won the one title.
Yeah, that's right.
The Phillies in 2008.
Okay. That's still a long time. Still,
yeah.
Time, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that it's that much better.
Yeah. All right. So, Parcells, if you come up with that, lay it on me. I'll see if I can cue it up here to to use just for fun?
Yeah, if I come up with one, I'll let you know. Nothing's coming to mind right now. There's got to be some song to describe a bunch of pain in the asses that I'm dealing with on a daily basis.
Well, Sweet Caroline Get It, though, is fitting just from the standpoint of how irritating that song is. I mean, it does kind of fit right in with the with like the new age Boston Red Sox fan, so I kind of see that.
Yeah, there's all the Sousa marches that you could do just because they're, you know, old Patriot stuff, like from the 18th century.
Oh, John Philip Sousa, that's old school. Look at that. Yeah.
I don't know if the Patriots do any of that stuff, but their mascot costume stuff lends itself to that.
Yeah, for sure.
The Plymouth Rock stuff.
Best bands from Boston, Fids. What would you start with? All time too, not just like now, but all time.
From Boston, I would. I mean, Aerosmith, right?
Yeah, there's, good one. Aerosmith. That's a good one. Yeah.
Aerosmith's the best. I mean, there's obviously Boston, the band Boston.
Yeah,
Boston. It's probably the first one that comes to mind, but Aerosmith's a better band than that. They're from Boston.
I agree.
I'll go with them.
Yeah, they're more fun too. So, good call.
I'd go with the Dropkick Murphys.
All right, we got it. Let me pop it on here. I don't know what the name of that actual song is. Let me see.
Ship It Off to Boston.
Oh, Shipping. There it is. Yeah, I see it right up here. So, here we go. Oh, yeah, we hear this song all the freaking time. Let's go. Let's see if we get a pre-roll first. Here we go. This should have been your intro. Oh, my goodness. This should have been your intro. I forgot about this. This should have... Oh, my gosh. What's that other song? Don't you feel like some Sam Adams right now, guys? Oh, God. Yeah, this hits it on the nose, man. Good job out of you. This is good.
Excellent.
Very well done.
Song.
Good stuff.
Yeah, they have a lot of great songs. They're a fun band.
Yeah, that's a good band. No, seriously, it's a good band. I mean, it's just that, you know, this song's been overplayed just because of all the commercials and the Departed movie, but definitely a quality song overall. This is fun. Yeah, this is good. I've never actually heard another song by them. I guess I'll check that out. But good stuff. I'm sure you saw The Departed, right? Parcells?
Nope, it's one of those movies. One of those movies everyone has.
Gotcha. Right on. Okay, so let's go to you. I'll go to you first, actually, Parcells. Great bands from Philadelphia. I don't think Hall & Oates is a band, but that would be certainly a good choice for an act from there.
Great bands from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Wow, that's rough.
Well, in the rock category, yeah, but in soul,
yeah,
you're looking at some good choices. You know,
music
like
from Phil. Well, I'll let
the Stylistics would be a good choice from there. Who else?
Boys to Men.
Boys to Men.
Yeah,
that's a good one. That's good.
There we go. Yeah, that's Boys to Men. I got.
Yeah, that's solid. Good choice. Good pull, guys. Yeah, but in the rock category, it's like that. Then it gets tough. I'm like, well,
Pink. You got Pink.
Yeah.
Right. She's from Doylestown, which is like an hour away.
Right. That's not a band.
Yeah.
Pink is not a band, but she's a rock artist.
Right.
The Roots. Yeah. The Roots also.
The Roots. Yes.
The Roots is good. That's a good one. The Roots is a good one. That's a good pull. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good band. There you go. These queries are much easier when you talk about New York and LA and San Francisco. Like, you can come up with a bunch of bands for all those guys, and so it's a little tougher with Philadelphia. All right. I guess that's a good place to end. Any final thoughts? I'll go to you first, Parcells, and we'll go to Fiddle after.
You know, the only thing, you know, if just talking about the game specifically, I know I'm not on tomorrow night. I guess you're having the usual panel on. which is always a great listen for those of you listening out there who don't normally listen to that panel. They do a great job. So if, you know, in terms of the game, I think we try to twist ourselves a lot of times to try to figure out how the opponent is going to beat the Patriots and, you know, and rack our brains. And I think it's just, I think it's just simple. I think it's the Patriots who are going to win this. I think they're going to cover. You know, I think the Patriots win by 10. I think Philadelphia, I think, you know, a nice story. Would have been a lot more competitive if Wentz was playing. They have a nice defense, but I think maybe they're a little overrated. I don't think they have the DBs that Jacksonville does. So I think, you know, I know they're going to be able to push up the middle a little bit, try to get to Brady that way. But I think Brady winds up picking them apart, and they win by at least 10.
All right. I'd love to hear a fiddle prediction on this game. This would be entertaining.
Yes. This is like when they have the monkeys pick the NCAA tournament bracket. It's a lot like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the city here is confident, but of course they're going to be.
Right.
You know, they saw the team demolish the Vikings last week or whatever, 2 weeks ago. And, you know, they're confident. But this is still a backup quarterback. And this is not the team that won the games in the first 13 weeks. Because I know that the NFL is a quarterback league and they don't have their quarterback. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be tough. I mean, I probably shouldn't say that out loud to fear for my own safety around here. But... I don't know. You can't count out Brady and Belichick ever. And the Eagles are not the Eagles of most of this season. They still have the backup quarterback. And, you know, the backup quarterback put up the offense with the backup quarterback, put up 30 points last week. So who knows? You know, you can't predict anything. But this is not the team they decided to go to war with at the beginning of the season. And it's not the team that won their first 12 games. So... I don't have the confidence, but it's hard being here to not get wrapped up in the hype here. But I can't make a pick. But I think it's going to be a tough ride given who the opponent is and given their quarterback situation.
Right on. So for me, I'm pretty much going to go the same. I'm going to go Patriots. I think it'll be a little closer. Maybe, you know, they'll win by like 4 or 5. But I still think the Patriots will take it somehow. So
the line is only like 4.5, right?
Yeah,
which surprises me.
And it's come down, too. It was like 6. It was 6 on the Sunday of the conference championships after the games concluded. So it does seem like there's some confidence from a number of people that the Eagles will at least cover the spread. So people are expecting a pretty tight game. We'll see. I guess we'll see, right? I think it could be a tight game, but... But you know what happens. I mean, it comes down to the crunch time, 2 minutes to go, and Brady and Belichick always find their way out of it. It's just every single time, except when the Giants play him, which is remarkable. Like that can happen. I'll say this, Parcells. I wouldn't mind having you on tomorrow too, Parcells, because I think only John's gonna make it. The other guys are busy with their activities. So if you want in on that, feel free. We can do it together at 10 o'clock tomorrow. But yeah, just a really quick little preview here. You know, the Giants got it done with great passer pressure, meaning a great pass rush, pressuring the quarterback without a blitz. And you know, that sounds easy. It's really not. Like to be able to penetrate the line with only 4 guys. You have to be really good, really athletic. And the Giants were really those two things in the 2 Super Bowls that they played against New England. Could the Eagles do the same thing, or would there be more of a challenge against Brady?
I think they have the line to do it, but I don't think they have the DBs. You know, I think, you know, everybody out there on defense has to, you know, coordinate and work together. And I just don't think that their defensive backfield is up to it.
Right.
Whereas, you know, last week Jacksonville for the, or 2 weeks ago, Jacksonville for the most part only sent four, you know, I don't know what percentage, but you know, the couple of times they did send an extra guy, and I forget who it was. I think it might have been Miles Jack. They destroyed Brady because he wasn't expecting it. So but you know, Jacksonville has the DBs. They have the corners and the safeties to do it. But let me just leave you with this one little nugget about the Eagles. 6 weeks ago, Eli Manning threw for over 400 yards on them.
Wow.
A pathetic Giants offense that they have threw for over 400 yards on this defense. So I don't know how much that's going to matter, but that's
that
what's
was,
been sticking
yeah.
in my
that,
head. That's what
was that the first week after after the Wentz injury? I think it was. Not that that matters on defense, but
yeah, was that the first full start?
Maybe psychologically, you know, you get punched in the face like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I can't recall exactly when the Wentz injury was, but again, you know, when it comes to, you know, me picking New England by at least 10, that's what's sticking in my head is Eli throwing all over them that afternoon.
That's a good nugget, though. Yeah. All right, one to keep in mind. Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for doing this with me. And have a great night. And yeah, Parcells, if you want to join in with John and me tomorrow, feel free. We can be in touch. But other than that, take care, guys. Enjoy the game, and we'll chat with you down the road. And I look forward to WWE time in a couple months. So take care, fellas, and thanks again.
Yeah, good times. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, fellas. Well, that's our show tonight. We hope you enjoyed it. A good look at the fan perspective in Philadelphia and in Connecticut, which represents New England. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dave Medina. We continue our Super Bowl week podcast with our final show, our preview and predictions tomorrow here on DeadCow. So look for it on the podcast feed. Enjoy your evening. Enjoy your day. We'll see you next time.